I want to read four passages from the Bible, and the first is in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis, chapter 22. Verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went, both of them, together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My son, my father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife, to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now over to chapter 25. Verse 29. And Jacob sawed pottage. He was cooking this meal. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. 2 Samuel, chapter 18, verse 24. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. Verse 29, and the king said, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, Turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. Another messenger came, verse 32, and the king said unto Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber, over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son, Absalom, my son, Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. and verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. There are major decisions made in young life. It is amazing to me, in fact, that the most important decisions of life can be made in the days of youth. What career you will follow? Your lifelong companion? Those are major choices. And those choices are made when you are young. You don't have the advantage of a few years' perspective. The great choices of life are made in youth. And we have read of four young men. And if you can't identify with these four young men because you feel that perhaps the days of youth have slipped through your hands, then let me just put one other word beside these four young men, and I think perhaps all that are in the meeting tonight can relate to this word. These were four privileged young men. Whether you recognize it tonight or not, it is not because of the men who are preaching, but of the God for whom we speak. You are privileged to listen to the gospel. There are some in the meeting tonight, and you have the privilege of years of prayers on your behalf. A tremendous privilege. You have the privilege of a mother's tears and a father's care with one objective before them. They have put everything they could into your soul because they want you to be in heaven with them forever. Some of you have sat and watched a Sunday school teacher's tears. I remember those days. As a man spoke to the boys in his class with tears coming down his eyes, telling us about our need to be saved. What a tremendous privilege. What stirs me tonight about these four young men is this. Not all of these four young men are in heaven tonight. I'm thinking of the words of the Lord Jesus. When he was speaking to the city in which he had done more miracles than any other city, Thou Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, thou shalt be thrust down to hell. Exalted to heaven with privilege, thrust down to hell in the end. It moved me tonight to think that God has spoken to souls in this meeting. That God has brought circumstances into your life that have brought you to the present moment where you're listening to the Word of God. And there are thoughts going through your mind that have never been going through your mind perhaps before. Privileged. Let me just point out to you first of all this young man Esau of whom we have read. And let me just have you notice Esau and his choice. Esau was a hunter, a man that loved life and loved the outdoors and the outdoor sports. And he was out one day enjoying life just the way he always liked to do it. But when he came in, ordinary problem, he was hungry. See, this was just an ordinary day. And he smelled his brother, who seemed to be more domesticated, he smelled his brother's mess of pottage.
Now, that's not our normal way of speaking, but I kind of think it's a good way to describe it. A mess. A porridge. Just a meal. And Esau says, I'm hungry. Give me some of that to eat. And Jacob, now we'd have to fault him. There was a craftiness to this. He said, you're hungry, right? And he stirred it up. I think he made sure the smell was just filling the little tent. He says to him, I'll tell you what, let's have an agreement. You can have this, no problem. Just give me your birthright. Now, the birthright was the right to enjoy God's particular blessings that were promised to his grandfather and his father, and now they would be coming down to him. And God doesn't today give birthright, doesn't give blessings by the line through blood, down through families. But in that day, that's what God was doing. And Jacob says, I want God's blessing, and I will take what is eternal, and I will be glad to let you have what is temporal. But he didn't put it in those terms. And what Esau did not know was in the choice that he was making, there was an eternal consequence to that choice. By striking the way the Word of God just paints the picture. Jacob says, here, you want this? Have it. Esau took it. He ate and he drank. And he rose up and he went his way. And he didn't even stop to think. He had just made the most momentous choice of his life, and he had made the wrong choice. And the Word of God simply says, thus did Esau despise his blessing. And our brother read last week the words from Hebrews chapter 12, where we are reminded that that young man Esau would love to have found some way to change his mind. It was impossible. The choice was made. There are some in the meeting tonight, and you are making a choice in life. You are making a choice for what is temporal, what looks so big, what looks so important. And what you fail to realize is you are making a fatal eternal choice, and your soul could be lost forever. I wish I had power from God to write upon your soul tonight the seriousness of the choice that you're making. A woman one day went to her door in Chicago. It was raining. There was a man standing at her door, knocking. She had enough troubles of her own. Her child was seriously sick, her son. She had one thing in her mind. She had read in the newspaper that the doctor who had perfected bloodless surgery, as it was called in those days, the very surgery that her son needed to save his life, he was visiting town, he was giving lectures, and she had done her very best to try to contact that doctor, asking for a personal interview that he would consider her son's case and undertake to do the surgery, the bloodless surgery. She went to the door. It was raining. He wanted to just have a place of shelter from the rain. And she said to him, I have enough troubles of my own. Please go away. And now for the rest of the story. He was Dr. Lorenz, the very doctor she wanted to see. From his busy schedule, he had slipped away for just a moment's break, gone walking in the park, a cloud came over, the shower began, he ran to the nearest door, and at her very door was the blessing she so much longed for. And she closed the door against him. I never had the opportunity again. I want you to know tonight that what you are looking for
is knocking at your door. The Savior who came from heaven in love, longing to bless you, longing to fill your life with what is worthwhile, longing to give you peace, longing to give you satisfaction, forgive your sins, and take you eventually to heaven and home for all eternity. And could it be there's a soul in the gospel meeting tonight drawn so close to heaven, the privileges of your lifetime, and you're turning away from your door in one moment, eternal blessing. Esau made the wrong choice. I think of the rich young ruler that came to the Lord Jesus. We read about him in Mark chapter 10. And what a moment is this. I think if you were watching, if you were one of the watching angels in this scene, you would have said, this is wonderful. Look at this young man coming. We are soon going to be joining and rejoicing in heaven. He is going to be saved. He bows courteously to the Lord Jesus. He asks him a question about eternal matters. He responds to him intelligently. He went away sad. Not every person that gives promise of receiving salvation is going to be in heaven. Not every person who intends to be in heaven is going to be there. Not every person for whom we have prayed is going to be in heaven. I would be wrong to tell you I wish it were otherwise. I am glad God has given us a choice. It is heartbreaking. Far more deeply than I have ever understood. It is heartbreaking to think of souls so near to the kingdom, and he went away sad. What was the problem with this privileged young man, drawn so near to the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus took a special interest in him. The Lord's heart went out to him. And you may never have met the Lord Jesus personally, but you have met some who love you. And through their love, you are knowing the love of the Lord Jesus for you. If they could do anything to bring you salvation, whatever the price, they would do it. And Jesus loved them. And he went away sad. And if I can just put it in a word, the problem with this young man is that he did not realize his need. He was not convicted of the depth of his need before God. And as I look over the gathering tonight, I am absolutely convinced of this. There's not a soul in this meeting who has yet faced the fact of your guilt as it really is in the sight of a holy God. There's not a soul in the meeting tonight that understands the dreadful reality of what it is to be a sinner in the sight of God, to be lost, totally incapable of finding your way home, totally incapable of doing whatever would be required for you to be in heaven. A lost sinner in the filthiness of sin, in the guilt of sin, in the absolute helplessness of your lost condition. You see, as long as a soul thinks, well, I'm lost at the moment, but I'm sure I can find out how to get home, he will keep on working at how to get home. And if that doesn't work, well, let me see, there's got to be another way, because I can do this myself. Rich young ruler, will you face the fact that the very best that you can do has not moved you one step closer to receiving eternal life? And the Lord Jesus was giving that young man a test to point out to him his lost condition, and instead of recognizing what the Lord Jesus said, he went away sad. And the Spirit of God is still about the work of convicting men and women
of their guilt and sin, their need in the sight of God. And if we could convey to you tonight His purpose, it is this, for you to realize that you are so needy as a guilty sinner exposed to the righteous judgment of God that you cannot go one more night as you are exposed to the judgment your sins deserve. I wanted to speak to you for a moment about Absalom. Because Absalom was a son that David, his father, loved. He had broken his father's heart, but his father grieved over him. Actually, this boy rose up in rebellion against his father, the king, to actually take his father from his throne. And his father told his soldiers, whatever you do, don't kill Absalom. And now the father is waiting while the battle has been joined. They won't let him go to battle, and he's waiting. And the watchman goes up to the tower and says, there's a man running. David says, is he alone? If he's alone, he's a messenger. And the first messenger comes, but he doesn't have any message for him. And the second messenger comes. And listen to what this father is saying. Is the young man Absalom safe? There's only one thing that matters to David. You would think that his kingdom would be very important. You would think that how this battle goes and how his soldiers are doing would be uppermost in his mind. But you do not understand the heart of one who knows his God and knows his son does not. And the messenger stands and he gives his message. Would to God that all the enemies of my Lord the King were even as this man is. Absalom is dead. The victory has been won. David's soldiers are all right. His kingdom is secure. And David turns to climb the tower to wail all by himself. Oh, Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son, here is a catastrophe. In one of the most favored homes you could imagine from the Word of God, a father who was a man after God's own heart. And David will be eternally singing in praise to the Lamb. And his son Absalom will be eternally wailing in the depths of hell. The grief on earth that moved the heart of King David. I do not dwell on this. I do not want to take advantage of this experience. But 5.5 years ago in our family, we had a time of great difficulty. I am always in debt to the Christians. Wherever I go, whoever I meet, I remember notes I hear from people I have never met. I pray for you. I pray for your son every day. We are indebted to God's people and their kindness. I sat this morning and I looked across where I was and my memory went back to September of 1993 and a card that came in the mail. I will never forget that card. Expressing concern. I have a collection of those cards. Every once in a while I just pull them up and look over them again. And I'll tell you honestly, I cry. Now, I don't want you to think tonight that I feel that this is grief that nobody else has. Others have their griefs. But this is a grief to us. And others shared in that grief. It means a great deal. But I want to tell you something. One of these days, it may be about 1 million years from now sometime, I think you may see 2 men just dancing down the golden street of heaven. I think the Lord will just let me take a walk with our son. The grief will all be over. It will be heaven forever. And there are some, and they live with a silent grief. Because if the tragedy comes, there's no hope. It will never be heaven and reunion and joy for all eternity. But let me remind you tonight that whatever grief there is on earth, it cannot rival the grief on the other shore. For in that moment when Job's dart reached the heart of Absalom, that boy's soul dropped into the fires of eternal hell. And in one moment, a boy so highly privileged was eternally shut out from eternal blessing, and his soul descended beneath the wrath of God forever and forever and forever. And just to quote for you the words of the Lord Jesus, there, in that world to which you are hastening, in that world from which you are separated by one shallow breath, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's a privileged young man for whom there was a substitute, and I hope tonight that as you listen to the gospel, you will drink in this wondrous message from heaven. There is salvation for you tonight. There is hope. There is blessing. But the choice is in your hand. In the name of my God, could I implore you tonight, do not make the wrong choice.